Like asking for directions. It shows that we're losing control. So ladies, tell them they're lost now and again. It's very helpful. You know, as I prepared for this morning's sermon, during the week, I remembered a guy from Westfield Presby Church. His name was Dr. Chris Hedgecock, lovely man. And he once, a long, long time ago, told me he'd been visiting a church somewhere. And he said, you know, Peter, what was so good was the minister brought a word in season. You know, because people can read the word is the word, but hey, a word in season. That seed's going to grow because it's been planted in the right season. So one of the things, of course, we should always do before we come to church is say, Lord, please open my spiritual heart so I can receive your word. Otherwise, just goes over the top. A word in season. So as I thought about these things this morning, during the week, I was looking through the newspaper and the normal stuff, death, destruction, corruption, Brexit, boring, Donald Trump, what a fool, and you know, and so on and so forth. But then at last I found something that was reasonably joyful, and it was all about the Chelsea Flower Show. Chelsea Flower Show. Who is the lassie that did this? Is she here today? Just stand up there, you. You know what? You're in good company this week. A word in season. You know, there's Prince William and Kate. They were there and they were participating in the design of a wild natural English garden. And the South Africans came away with a gold medal from Kirstenbosch. How about that? So, what's that got to do with the scripture? What's that got to do with the scripture? Well, it's all about gardens. Gardens. Listen to this story about one of the most wonderful gardens there ever was. And it's in John 20 from verse 11. No, is it from 11? I've got, yes, 20, 11 to 18. Got lost in the garden. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. "I've seen the Lord," she told them. And she told them all that he had said. Amen. So, I was drawn to the story of gardens. Gardens in the Bible. And as I thought about these things, I thought about the first garden that I ever had or was responsible for. In England, we didn't have a garden. It was street out the front and concrete yard in the back. And so here I come to South Africa, and I'm in Westville in 1969. Bought a brand spanking new house. Well, I paid a mortgage on it. For 17,500 rand. big commitments, hey? Big commitment. And it was on a steep slope, Aberfoyle Road. Blimey, O'Reilly, if it ever snowed in Westville, I would have made a fortune as a ski run. It was like this. As I went to buy this house, Miles Leather was the estate agent, all Miles Leather. And I'd be looking around, never bought a house before. Looked all new, looked nice, but I'd look down. And as I looked down, Miles would say, but just look at that view. And every time I looked down, because I didn't have a clue what I was going to do with this thing, Miles would say, look at the view, look at the view. And so, sucker me, I said, that's a lovely view, where do I sign? And now I've got to get involved in gardening, not knowing anything about it. Could you call it a garden in Westville? No, it was a clearing in a bush. It wasn't like my brother's garden in England. Now, that's what you call a garden. Cultivated English garden. Small. Everything seems to not grow so quickly. And he used to cut it with a rotary lawnmower. Manicured lawn. I've never seen anything like that. And, you know, not for him, hacking and stabbing and chopping bush down. Things that would prickle you. And not for him, the possibility of a snake. Not for him, mosquitoes. They had gnats. Now, gnats is a miniature mosquito without malaria. You can deal with them, you know. So, there we go. First thing I had to learn about gardening was, how do you tell the difference between a flower and a weed? It's very easy. The weeds look strong and healthy, and the flowers look rather weak. And so I would pull out anything that looked strong and healthy, and it would serve me in good purpose ever since. And so began my love for gardens, flowers, and the creatures that were in them. 34 years ago, I had a business that hit hard times. That sounds familiar somehow. And I had to sell off all the company assets and everything else on my home. And it was all very traumatic. And on the day the furniture removers were coming to take away, give us the move with our furniture and what have you. And the dawn, I went out and I was in the garden. And I'd really been crushed with all this thing. But as I walked in the garden at dawn, I heard God laugh. It's the most wonderful experience of my life. Not only by hearing, but feeling. It was like a resonance that engulfed me. And then I heard him say quite clearly, Peter, why are you stressing about losing this? You've never owned those trees. You've never owned those birds and the wild animals that you like so much. You have your health. You have the talent I've given you. And you have the love of your family. And you still have all of that. You need no more. And the concrete weight that I felt lifted. And so that was the first experience I had of hearing God speak. And it was in a garden. You know, there's something about gardens. If we look in the Bible, there are three examples of how important gardens were. The first, of course, we all know, the Garden of Eden. It was important because God created Adam, the first man, in his own image. And he created his first woman, Eve. And it was a place where God liked to walk in the cool of the day. It was a place where God talked with Adam and Eve. But then, regretfully, it was the place where sin entered the world through disobedience. Through the disobedience of Adam and Eve. They had been given everything. Everything. But it wasn't enough. Sin entered into the world, and that caused disease and suffering, and that caused the break in the relationship. That was the Garden of Eden. It was quite a garden. The second garden that we come across, or I came across, was in so many ways different from the Garden of Eden. It was the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means oil press. It was an olive grove with an olive press for squeezing olive oil out of the olive fruit. That was one of the differences, because the Garden of Eden was full of every kind of fruit you can imagine. In the Garden of Eden, sin entered into the world through disobedience, whereas in the Garden of Gethsemane, sin began to exit the world through the obedience of Jesus. That's a main difference. The obedience of Jesus to his Father's will, even though Jesus knew it was going to lead to torture and death. Jesus dreaded what was ahead of him. We're told in Luke's account of the night at the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus sweated great droplets of perspiration like blood as he prayed in anguish. And yet he stood up from those prayers, obedient before his Father, ready to do his Father's will. Whereas the disciples once again acted just like Adam. And if the truth be known, just like us. Jesus called them for support in his hour of need. He asked them to be watchful, but they were disobedient. And they weren't watchful. In fact, they fell asleep. This caused Jesus to rebuke them. Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. How these words call out to us today. For Jesus has called us to be his disciples. He's called us to prayer. And just like the disciples at Gethsemane, we've fallen asleep. After a few lines of prayer, we've fallen asleep. After being called by Jesus to support him in his ministry, we've grown weary. Haven't we too allowed his enemy to advance against him and against his ministry? Brothers and sisters, yes, we have. And his rebuke rings out like our own excuses. The spirit is winning, but the flesh is weak. But dear friends, there's hope. There's hope. Listen to where this hope is first discovered. Where else but in a garden? In St. John's Gospel, we're told on the third day after the crucifixion of Jesus, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb in the garden to anoint his body with oils and spices, but the tomb was empty. As Mary stood in the garden, a man who Mary thought was the gardener approached and spoke to her. But it was only when he called her by name that she recognized that he was Jesus. It was her risen Lord Jesus. Oh, what joy! It was for Mary to realize that Jesus, whom she'd seen crucified, dead and buried, was alive. Unbelievable. And do you know something, dear friends? That's the way Jesus is likely to speak to us today. He may speak to us as a gardener or a tradesman or perhaps a neighbor. But we'll recognize him when he calls us by name. It will feel personal. Call us by name, where we are at in this time and place. And probably when we're at our weakest. Because that's when we ask for help. Not so? Amen. When that happens, we too will not be able to contain our joy. And in that moment, our spirit will be strong enough to overcome our weaknesses. In that moment, we too will want to run and tell friends and neighbors that we've met the risen Christ. Dear friends, which garden are you in? Which garden are you in? Are you in the Garden of Eden, standing in shame of disobedience before your God? Because you've been given more than enough. But you're moaning and groaning about what you haven't got. Are you in the Garden of Eden? Or are you in the Garden of Gethsemane, agonizing over your call to do the will of God? Or have you been asked by Jesus to assist, but have fallen asleep on the job? Or are you in the garden beyond the tomb? Are you in the garden where the risen Christ is calling you by name, and you know it's true? Oh, have you recognized him by his voice? Have you recognized him by his word? Do you know that Jesus lives, and do you know he's calling you by name? Some may say, well, maybe, I'm not sure. Give you a clue. Go and read the story, the account of the two on the road to Emmaus. It speaks into our lives today. That's a sermon for another day. But just, if you haven't heard Christ talking to you, read the story of the two on the road to Emmaus. And figure out, when was it that they recognized Jesus? It was when they invited him in and shared with him what they had. When they invited him in. If you do invite him in, and you recognize him as real in your life, then you'll know there's work to be done. But oh, what joy it is to work in the garden of the kingdom of heaven. And so our prayer for us today is that we'll be in the garden beyond the tomb. We will meet Christ, the risen Christ, and we won't be able to contain that joy as we spread the good news. And as family and friends and neighbors and work colleagues moan and groan about, oh, woe is us in South Africa, what are we coming to? We'll be able to smile and say, hey, I'm in the garden of the Lord, and he walks in this place, and he looks around, and he sees what he's made. He's made you, and he's made you, and he's made you, and he's made you. He's made all of us in this time and this place, created. We're not biological accidents. Therefore, God has a purpose. Therefore, we're supposed to be here, being about our Father's business. That's what we're supposed to do. Whether we are 92, whether we are whatever, you in your small corner and I in mine, we can bring the light into a dark place. Not so? That's the call. I've got another about 5 more pages here, but I can't read these pages because, I mean, this is the real truth is preaching from the heart. What are we saying? What are we saying? Satan will say, okay, fine, but you need to know more. He'll say, but, you know, you've done your bit over many years. It's time for you to let somebody else do their bit now. Satan will say, you haven't got time, you got this, you got that. It's all a lie. Because in everyday activity, making those flowers, doing that ministry, this, in everyday activity of being a good neighbor, in everyday activity being a good grandma, in everyday activity about being a good colleague, in everyday activity respecting the temple that the Lord's given you, the body that the Lord's given you, in all of these things, God will be glorified. If you are prepared to lift up your countenance and lift up your heart and lift up your attitude and know that this is not the end. This is the life that God has given to you. It's very, 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 very valuable to him. And one day he's going to say to you, I gave you so many talents, maybe not as much as somebody else, but what did you do with them? You moaned about Jacob Zuma? Come on. You saw the heavens and the earth. You saw the wonders that I placed before you. You saw the animals, the flowers and all the fish and everything else. And you rabbited on about somebody that was nobody. Dear friends, all of this happened in gardens where things were planted and we know not how they grew. We know not how they grew and gave us food and they gave us things of beauty. And the animals fed from them. And we walked among them and God walked with us. And he still does today. He still does today. He is real. It's not religion. God lives in the spirit of men and women because he made them in his image. What does that mean? Does that mean that they had white skin, dark skin, black hair, red hair? No, it doesn't. In his image means full of love, full of patience, full of kindness, full of mercy, full of joy, and all of these things. And we have been made in his image. What a waste if we're going to moan and groan. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this life. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful life that you've given each one of us. Oh Lord, our cry today is, Lord, open my eyes, my ears, and my lips. And may I glorify you by saying thank you. And may I glorify you by opening my hand to lift somebody up who's less fortunate than myself. And in the name of Jesus, bless them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.